This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Yes, yes. Welcome into the Tim McKernan Show. It is April 1st, 2024, and we are in the Longo Big Studios. Timothy Mike McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you on the program. QFTA Jackson, taking care of business with the wonderful sponsors who make it possible. James Carlton, Seth Goldkamp, Design Air Heating and Cooling, James Carlton, Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency. And also, Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton Toyota, and Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies, along with Longo Biggs. Longo Biggs, sponsor of our studios. Tell me the good word.
Oh, all is good.
I need the good word, though.
The good word? It's a great time of year. You know, baseball season's underway, end of the tournament, weather's starting to get nice, you can start playing golf more consistently. It's great.
Good show.
Feeling great. Life's good.
Masties in less than 2 weeks. Masties.
That's right. Can't wait for that. Always one of my favorite times of the year.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, we're hip deep in summer with hot temperatures, and life is good.
Hot guys.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, I understand that. I want to know what you did this weekend.
This weekend, Tim, played golf on Saturday morning.
Where'd you play?
Triple Lakes. It was a gale.
How was it? I used to play there when I was a young tyke, and I haven't been back since I started playing again. I would love to play there. I can picture it a little bit.
Yeah, Millstead, Illinois.
Yeah.
For $37, I don't think I've played nicer public course greens.
Wow.
The greens were immaculate.
How about that?
Now, the whole course is domed greens, so holding said green improved challenging. It was fine enough shape, but the greens themselves, they hadn't punched yet, were unbelievable.
Wow.
Is
this now punching season?
Oh, big time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was always the most fun in high school golf, is right when you start your matches, is right after every course in town had punched. And so it could prove tough to score numbers. But, I mean, if you play in the fall, you have a similar thing you deal with, too.
Aeration season.
Yeah, if you want nice greens come July, you got to punch in April.
Yeah, that is the price you pay. So you shot a 79, felt like it could have been more like a 74, but 79's fine. You know, left a few out there. I had some trouble getting up and down with those greens.
82, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. I didn't know you haven't posted that yet, I noticed.
Oh, I posted it.
Okay.
I posted it.
Just firing bets at the plot.
This is not really doing much to the old number. That's the thing, is like you could have a terrible round. You could post a 95. Mm-hmm. It doesn't impact
I had a 67 come off this weekend, and it moved me up to 3.7.
So is it one?
And I'm down to a
3.6. Is it one after 1 year it comes off?
No, it's just that was 20 rounds ago.
Got it. Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's your most recent 20 rounds, and then they take the best eight.
That's right.
Not even best eight scores, best eight differences.
Yeah.
Because a score is irrelevant.
Totally.
I mean, if I shoot a 92 from the tips at Boone Valley.
Right.
And you shoot an 83 from the white tees at Gateway, my guess is my 92 may show up as a better score than your 83.
Right, with the differential.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, So I posted it, but nothing's really moving on the handicap, but we're comfortable.
Are you like at a 9, 10?
9.1. I'm feeling better about my game each time I go out there. Getting some things that have plagued me in the past and working on that. Keeping the ball in play just in general better than I had in years previous. And short game and putting is getting there. So I think by...
Wow, this guy's trending.
By about June. Now I say that and I could go out.
This guy's trending.
Be completely lost in a given round. But I'm feeling better than where I was even 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Coaches John and Dean Ellis said, what club you hit on 17?
I'm trying to think of 17.
Trying to picture 17. I haven't been there since the 90s, so I need to go back in my memory bank.
Yeah, I just played it on Saturday, and I cannot remember. I know it's a par 3. I just don't remember.
7-iron?
Probably. It was probably like 160 wind width.
There you go.
So I was like, I'll hit the 7. I remember. I believe I parred that hole.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
We're not in regulation up and down. The great up and down.
A lot of short par 5s, but with those dome greens, it's not conducive to scoring.
You got to roll it up there and hope it stays.
Yeah, but things were landing soft in front.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's like a funky grass up front, which is really great for chipping off of, super plush, but balls were just sticking into it.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they made it tough, but the greens were outstanding. Really was.
Jackson, did you go to a fine dining establishment with your lady?
No, we got like a quick dinner because we were going to see what Doug calls a movie film
right
on Saturday night. And so we just got a quick bite to eat before that and enjoyed that. But we're thinking of hitting a really good spot this weekend upcoming.
Oh, where are you thinking? Tell me.
Pizza di Gloria on the Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, Pizzeria di Gloria on the Hill. So that's the plan as of right now.
Got it.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got a billion emails here. And you just tell me which way you want me to go. Is there a topic that you're... Because if you want it, I got it.
I feel like we've done a good amount of TMA-centric stuff recently.
Yeah,
so maybe...
the Micah Sage thing, it got no response.
No one
said anything. It got no response. It's like I answered all the questions. I thought I did anyway. He asked a bunch of questions. I answered. I guess nobody really cared. I was like, this will be good. Kind of a two-parter. So I don't know.
I saw some good reactions on the text line from some people saying like they enjoyed
it. I remember seeing one. I mean, I don't see all the texts,
right.
But...
I saw a couple where it was like, it was a good conversation.
Oh,
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I thought he was great. I thought he asked, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I overrated the amount of people that cared, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But I would say since we've done some TMA-centric stuff recently, maybe some outside of that, outside of the realm.
What are you looking for?
Questions about what's going on in the world, you know, less so about like, maybe like less radio business stuff, more like stuff that's going on outside the world. That could be anything. I know I'm leaving a very vague.
Yeah, that was about to say.
Very
anything,
vague.
Essentially, you're saying anything other than TMA.
Yeah, I would just to switch it up a little bit. I mean, we had Brianna Kopich and Megan Gaither on last week. And we talked anything but TMA on that one.
Yeah, you better believe it, brother. I definitely got a lot of feedback on that one.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so maybe people are just not interested in the TMA thing. Hey, and that's fine. I you know.
That's the fun part about this podcast, baby. Go anywhere.
I'm all for that. Now I'm scrolling. Let's see. I don't know. I guess I got an erotic story.
Oh, hey. Now that's a nice start to a week.
Let me see. I don't know. This was one I needed to review before going to the... this kind of ties into... something that I just did coming out of social media retirement, barely.
Mm.
Tim and Jackson.
Yeah.
A few questions about how each of you feel about social media topics from your generation. Apologies for the length. Tim, how do you feel about posting pics of your kids on Facebook, Instagram, etc.? My wife and I had our first kid last year. I am generally against posting pics of the young boy on Instagram. To me, it feels creepy and irresponsible to have his face everywhere without his consent. I'm not even sure of what specific future consequence I'm afraid of. It's more intuitive. My career is somewhat in the cybersecurity space, which I assume makes me pessimistic. My wife does post pics of him, but infrequently on Instagram, and it's mostly stories. She understands where I'm coming from, so she asks before posting, and I never say no. Jackson, is your generation concerned that likely much of their child is all online? My guess is no, since you grew up online, but I'm very curious as it scares me being a millennial. In a somewhat related topic, when Doug mentions TikTok is bad, Jackson doesn't seem to blink an eye before saying anything further. I'm not trying to change anyone's mind, simply just stating how I personally view the app, and I'm curious to hear if either of you have any subsequent thoughts. Jackson, I agree. In a silo, much of your info is already out there.
And if one could derive from your TikTok account that you enjoy golf and basketball, it's probably no big deal, especially if you're a voyeur on the app. However, it is probably an issue if a foreign power, not company, knows location, demographics, likes, dislikes, at scale of people all of the U.S. and the world. In Europe and some states in the U.S., there are laws that give folks rights to fight back against data collection. That is not the case in China, and it creeps me out. I have no solution to this issue, nor do I care to really influence anyone outside my household, so I will drink bleach as I yell at the clouds. Thanks. That's from the Sultan of Duck Butter.
Great question.
All right, Jackson, dig in.
Great question all around. On the first part of the question he asked me about my entire childhood being online, yes, I look back on that. Like, Facebook memories will pop up, and it's like stuff that, like, I'm not like, ooh, why did I post that? Like, that was so controversial, or like, that's going to get me in trouble. It's just like, that's, you know, imagine your thoughts or your things that you would post when you were in ninth grade or eighth grade. Like, it's stupid shit that's just like, oh my God. But at the time, I wouldn't think anything of it because that's what it was. So there's definitely something to me growing up with social media being a big part of the general culture. You know, like, everyone was on Facebook in high school and Instagram and Twitter. And so that was all just kind of part of it. And so I didn't necessarily see the evolution of it. You know, I wasn't like in elementary school and middle school, though, that people, like, I guess middle school people were on Facebook, but like, it wasn't. So I kind of just kind of grew up with it, to what you're saying. Now, on the TikTok data collection thing, I understand him working in cybersecurity probably is a lot more privy to information that is collected. To me personally, being online for most of my life, certainly my entire adulthood or even late adolescence, being online, they've got what they got from me. Like, there's not much I can try to hide anymore. They've collected a lot of data on me. And maybe it's naive to think that I don't think it's for like malicious reasons, more so like marketing and making people money. And so to me, it doesn't bother me as much. I understand people being creeped out by it because there is a lot of stuff that you can get from data collection, especially on social media. However, it personally doesn't like take up much part of my mind because, I mean, what are they going to do about me? Like, what are they like? I'm not too worried about someone coming and kidnapping me, essentially, from some foreign power. Like, that fear isn't for me. But I understand people being wary of it. Absolutely, I do. It's kind of scary to think that big corporations and other governments have a lot of information about what you like and where you are at certain times. And that's totally understandable. To me, though, I just don't think it's as malicious. You know, I know it was like a big thing with the NSA and the Patriot Act at the start of the 2000s. I was alive for it, but I wasn't real conscious of the discourse. But this has been a topic now going on 20 years in terms of how much our government or other governments know about each individual citizen.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For me, with regards to posting kids, I think I posted my second son for the first time ever this past week because he was out there with me when I got a hole-in-one this past Thursday. And I just was like, it's a hole-in-one, and it was more for my friends, but the friends that I don't necessarily text. But then I recognize that I have plenty of people. I don't know what to do on that. I don't know. It's a long thing, and it could perhaps come off the wrong way. But I would like to, like, for the purpose of people I'm actually friends with, so, like, you know, however many, like 100 people, like, have a social media account where I can post things, and then I can also follow my friend stuff. So maybe I could have and should have done that. I don't know. But yeah, like, in a way, it's similar to your answer, Jackson, because the cat's kind of out of the bag, so to speak,
right,
on my older son. But with the benefit of hindsight, I would have now, I think I've gotten exposed to some weirder stuff over the last 7 years than the first 13 years of the show since my son was born. Not that, that the two are related, but you just think differently when people send you threatening things when you're a father versus when you're not, I suppose would be the best way to explain it. And having talked to Riz about it, Rizzuto, and he's like, the girl and the boy, that's I think what he calls his kids, if I'm not mistaken, that would have been, again, with the benefit of hindsight, that's what I would have rather have done with it, with social media.
Yeah. I personally, being childless, however people want to deal with their kids, raise them, post or not post on social media.
Well, it's a different, for 99% of the population, you're not a public figure.
Right.
Even if you're a low-level St. Louis public figure, you know, that's different. That's a different thing. So if you're a private citizen and you're posting pictures of your kids, that's a different deal than, you know, somebody who's a public figure.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And I understand any public figure who, you always read, like, this person's very private and they're, you know, they don't share much about their private life. It's like, well, it's their private life,
right.
You know, like that's up to them. Like you don't want to.
Or when somebody breaks their silence, but when somebody takes to social media.
Yeah, well, their silence was deafening. But like that's
what there was backlash on social media,
right? And it's like talking
backlash
for like
backlash on social media at all times
for like big celebrities. Like I tell them, they're like, well, they're private in their private life. It's like, yeah, if you're not, you're capable of being like Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde, like all that shit being online and the discourse around that, it's nasty. Like, why would you ever want to enter yourself into that? But then if you're not all on social media at all the times, you know, are you possibly leaving money out there? It's a real conundrum for folks in certain positions. I wouldn't consider us in the positions like that. However, it's tough because it is nice to have what I would assume is like a record, almost like a scrapbook of.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. And what you're saying, I'm just agreeing without necessarily allowing you to explain what you meant. Like a scrapbook, like an online scrapbook.
Yeah.
And now for the last, I don't know, however long, since I've basically, like that post I posted this past Thursday was my first post since we were in Jamaica with Lisa Ann.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking, what, 14 months, 15 months, 14 months?
Yeah.
On Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, for whatever reason, I don't know. Like, honestly, with the benefit of hindsight, I wouldn't have posted it. Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying there, but like it is nice. Like I'll go, like my brother has a private Instagram, but like I'll go back and look at some of his older photos of my oldest child, and it's really like awesome to like go back and
see
a year or 2 years worth of photos of the person. It's pretty cool to see, you know. And so I do enjoy like that, but I also totally understand people just being like, yeah, like, you know, I'll show you pictures of my kids if you'd like, you know, or I'll keep it like this or save it a different way. But also, like, Instagram is a great tool for just that.
Yeah.
And Instagram, I would say, is a little less of like, and I think, I don't know. I was starting to give a take there. And then
give a take. Give your take. It's take time.
Like, if you're looking at the toxicity of certain social media sites.
Rank the toxicity of social media sites. I'd be curious.
And like,
because you're a little more, well, I don't even know if you're that engaged.
I'm certainly reading.
I'm not engaged, yeah. So I don't know. Let me give mine, and then you will be, because I look at you more as the answer key. I would say Twitter's got to be the most toxic.
That was my answer.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know, like...
That's what I was about to say. Like, Instagram is like peanuts compared to the toxicity
right.
on Twitter.
Is Twitter kind of like... Is Twitter's like... I'm not sucking stock like Elon overpaying. I'm talking about, like, as far as the public's use of it. Like, you can tell when somebody's really on... Without even... Like, if I'm in a conversation with somebody, I'm like, oh, boy, they're really into social media. And I kind of am like, oh, God. I just want to, like... Come here.
Yeah.
There's things out there. I just, you know, like it just, and I'm talking about like, I don't know, it's toxicity wise, I'd go Twitter. Are we including YouTube? Bah.
No.
What are we including? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
I mean, TikTok's got, okay.
I was about four. I don't like Snapchat.
It's going to put me to the test. God, I don't know. A second? I'm sure you would say Facebook second. No? Okay.
Not in 2024.
Because Facebook's kind of for the old.
Community Christmas card.
The community Christmas card.
That's what it is. Yeah. Johnny got, you know, silver right. in doubles tennis this weekend.
I don't know.
Which is fine.
You know? I know, but I mean, I did it last week.
But Instagram.
But we can't justify it like going, well, that was a hole in one. That's a once in a lifetime type of thing with my kids being there, you
right,
know?
Right.
But I'm just like, oh, this is for my like golf buddies, but I don't have a page for just like my golf buddies. So fuck it. I'll do it. And then I'm like, oh God, I think Aiden made his first appearance. That might've been the first time I said his name right there on social media. So I've been able, he's 2 years old and I don't know if he's up there yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, oh, on mine anyway, my wife's, I know, I think.
You
yeah.
start like a Discord server for you and all your friends, and then you just
everyone right. can that share. That is honestly what I need.
Yeah. Yes, I would say that Twitter is the king of kings.
Sure. But it's also kind of, I don't know if many, I don't know, like user-wise, what has the most going right now? Is it still Twitter?
Twitter or Instagram, I would say. If we're talking like volume of users, it actually still might be Facebook. Because if you're going to be on Twitter or Instagram, you probably are also on Facebook.
Facebook is the largest social networking site with over 3 billion people using it monthly.
I wonder if they...
God, so that's nearly half the world? 37% of the world's population is Facebook users.
Yeah. I feel like it's
Does that include way. Burners? You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then...
Right. So automatically, we're going to have to take some off right. there. And I don't know if that also lumps in Instagram, which is, of course, Meta is the parent company for
Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp, and Instagram. Those are the rankings.
WhatsApp, I would not call social media.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's just in a lot of places outside of America, they use WhatsApp for messaging.
I see.
But Instagram, I would say, is second in the toxicity because people are painting a life in which they do not have, but they strive for and want others to think that. I think that kind of gets to like the...
Which one does that? I feel like
Instagram.
They all do that.
I mean,
honestly,
there is absolutely like whatever you'd say bad about Twitter, there's a little of that in Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. Whatever you'd say bad about Instagram, there's a little in everything.
All right.
But I would say Instagram is like the leader in terms of I present my life being this. However, I never show you the downsides of it. And it's meant to what well, some people or the subconscious is like, I have this and you don't, or I'm striving for this and don't have it. Whereas like TikTok has the toxicity of like the fucking guy with the really faded haircut telling you if you don't have a Lamborghini by 24, you're a loser.
Really faded haircut.
Oh, yeah. It's like the hardest of hardest hard lines separating their 6 inches of hair on top and their skin fade on the side.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then they're.
I got to look for this guy.
They're like, whatever, for other reason, in a public park telling you about investment strategies with like 20 people surrounding him. Like, who are these fucking people?
You're sounding like me now, except I don't know who you're talking about.
It's just these people on TikTok who really want you to get up in the morning and start kicking ass. They're like, you woke up at 6 a.m.? Fuck you. Wake up an hour earlier.
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm in awe. Do you think that this will be going on in 10 years?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
It prints money. There's too much money in it.
I know, but something's going to happen. I mean, this will be looked at like by kids who are maybe like right now, like my kids' age. It's like, oh, you used to do this thing where you would hold up your phone and like,
yeah.
And it's just totally normalized
yeah.
right now.
Oh yeah,
it's I'm not even talking about like the family pictures. I'm talking about like the guy who doesn't really have a whole lot going on, but somehow is an expert in field. And it's just, I'm just like, that's got to have a shelf life.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like golf lesson, TikTok and Instagram is the wild, wild west. It's like a guy who's probably like a 3 handicap who's like, everyone's been telling you going over the top is wrong. Here's 3 reasons why you can't go
over the top. Is that engagement for me?
Oh, my God, yeah. Nice. It's like a fucking Kirby enthusiasm. He's like, you got to release the head. You have to release the head. It's like, you're telling the fucking guy to move his head. It's not golf. That's what it is. And it's no credentials are needed. It's like you put a fancy filter on there and the right camera and everyone thinks you're an expert. So there's some toxicity everywhere with it. But I would say Twitter is for sure the worst because that's where a lot of people get all of their information.
Yeah, that's the part. That's what I mean. Like, if I'm in a conversation with someone, I'm like, oh, God.
That's where people
are getting everything from Twitter.
Right.
Here's a little exercise that I occasionally participate in, Jackson. Sure. Something asinine somehow shows up in my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And And I guess it's a retweet from somebody who I then immediately unfollow because I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. No, thanks.
And then I'll click on the account and go, what the fuck is that? And then I'll see who follows him, who I follow. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. That's my reaction. I go, oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I do. I go, oh, no.
Yeah, it can be tough. I haven't added someone, like followed someone on Twitter in so long.
What about
long.
Ella Reese?
Ella Reese, baby. She's doing a lot of work on Twitter.
She's got her hair dyed. She's dark now. She's a brunette.
Oh, okay.
No.
Good for her. Mm-hmm. No, I only see her when
Reese,
I am on
baby.
The TMASTL Instagram account. And she's done some sort of Pilates that day.
She needs to cut back on that.
Yeah.
Let's see. QFTA, let's go. This is from Chuck Vindaloo. That's your guy. You're a big Chuck Vindaloo guy.
Ever present.
Tim, thoughts on QFTA Masters Golf Nerd Show week? Well, I am out of town starting on Wednesday. And now that we don't have a sales meeting that was scheduled tomorrow, so I don't know. My wife's not packed, though, for our trip. So I was thinking about maybe just driving this afternoon, getting down there, making it easier on the family. But if I came home and I said to my wife, hey, I'm going to leave now to start driving, so then that way you don't have to carry everything on. I'm sure she would rather have me carrying the things with her.
Yeah.
But her parents are on the same flight as us on Wednesday as well.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like that might be more helpful.
Could be.
And I could just use the 12 hours. I could really use the 12 hours in the cone of silence.
Love driving long distances.
Do you really?
Love it.
Did you drive to
GCU?
FGCU.
Drove home. My parents drove me down. I drove myself back. And I love it because, like, you have a built-in excuse for anyone who reaches out to you and you didn't get to them. It's like, sorry, I was driving for super long. Like, I'll get back to you whenever. Or, like, you can just pop them up on a phone call and take care of it like I already like to do. You can listen to long-form podcasts or a book and just you have to be focused on the road. So it's almost meditative where you can't think about every other thing going on in your life. You can just focus on the road. It's serene to me. I don't know. I really like long drives.
See, when I would drive, I drove to Jupiter twice, but I'm driving to like my favorite place.
Right.
So I'm in such a good place.
Yeah.
Versus when you're driving back.
Tough.
As far as the Masters go, I see Scheffler's plus 425. I mean, I this sounds so chalky, but I'm like, I don't know how you don't take Scottie Scheffler. And it's got nothing to do with, it's a data-driven take. His strokes gained is actually better this year than it was when the year he won, and last year when he was on fire as well and won the Players. Strokes gained approach, specifically, as much as Iggy with the ball striking thing is kind of a laughable thing, it is Scottie Scheffler's shot dispersion with his irons that makes him, I mean, it's so, but you asked for a nerdy take, Chuck Vindaloo, so here you go. That it's like, it's all, I don't know who's going to compete with that.
He's gone 1-1 T2 in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of unheard
of. And he had to 3-putt from like 5 feet in order to shoot over par for the first time in I don't know how long, 20 some odd rounds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It's just otherworldly. So the thing that you can't prevent, of course, because it's not like you can play defense, is if somebody else were to go off.
Right.
But I almost am like, God, I kind of feel like I should throw something on Scottie Scheffler, you know?
It seems
to
like
to get 4.25x on my money. I don't know.
It seems like a three.
But it sounds so chalk.
Right.
It sounds so square, I guess. It is chalk, but it's...
Yeah. What data are you going to use to say, I like Jon Rahm or Brooks Koepka, who are two of probably the guys who are also going to be heavy odds?
Yeah, I don't. Koepka's a I never know situation.
Right.
You know, I believe he's healthy, but I'm not locked in on the live events to know.
Yeah.
Let me see what I got here on your odds to Scottie Scheffler to make the cut at all four majors minus 300. Top 10 finish all four majors plus 500. Top 20 finish all four majors plus 150. Top 5 finish all four majors plus 2500. I wouldn't bet that just because of the Open in particular.
Big time.
Is so much variance with weather.
Right.
But winner of the Masters, he's plus 450. Rory is second, plus 1,100. Jon Rahm, plus 1,200. Koepka's plus 1,800. Spieth, plus 2,000. That is I guess it's the horses for courses thing, but he is not in form. Xander Schauffele just needs to be behind going into Sunday in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
Matsuyama plus 2,500. Neiman plus 2,500. That'd be a sneaker play. I know this. I want bigger odds, though. Justin Thomas plus 2,500. I feel like it's there. It's his putting is just so atrocious, and that I think that's something that can be fixed unless it's mental. Ludvig is plus 2,500. God, all these just aren't that great of numbers. Like Hovland's plus 2,500. Zalatoris is plus 2,500. Wyndham's plus 2,500. I look at a lot of plus 2,500s.
Joaquin top five seems interesting to me because Everyone I hear says that he is like one of the best players in the world, if not like top three. Everyone says that his game is so sick. It's a real fucking shame he's wasting it, but I get it.
Let me see if I can get a top five for you at Augusta National. Joaquin would pay Jackson for the bet you want to fire plus 375.
I like that. I think
Scheffler's even money.
Jeez, for top five, even money at the Masters. Yep. That right there is an example of dominance.
If Jose Maria Olazabal were to win and you put $100 on it, you'll be handsomely rewarded with $250,000.
Is Sandy Lyle an option in his suspenders?
They have not given Sandy Lyle a nod on the board. Freddie Couples, who will probably make the cut, plus 150,000.
Freddie Boom Boom.
Eldrick, put 100 on it, 17.5.
Good on that.
You're not interested.
If I can bet on Sandy Lyle to have a lovely time and for Tiger to at some point be in a golf cart leaving a hole, I would parlay.
I got to tell you, I realize it doesn't, it hasn't. When's the last time we had a random winner at the Masters?
Danny Willett.
Great answer, and the right answer, actually. Yeah. There are some players who I think are pretty damn good who I realize the average person would not be familiar with, but who I would absolutely, again, not because I think they'll win, but because of what, like if I were to set aside $1,000 to fire 10, just like, fuck it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like go, okay, I'm probably going to lose all of this. But Mickelson at plus 12.5, Eric Cole at plus 15, Siwoo Kim is playing well. I know, again, you got to be a real nerd to know this shit, golf nerd, plus 12.5. Keegan's plus 15,000. Nikolai Højgaard's plus 15,000. Adam Hadwin plus 17.5. Chris Kirk plus 17.5. Harris English plus 17.5. JT Poston's playing out of his mind this year, plus 17.5. And Jake Knapp plus 17.5. I mean, and Matthew Pavon plus 17.5. I mean, I'm telling you.
Some value out there.
That's big time. I mean, it's not automatic. And don't get me wrong, I'm the guy saying I realize. I mean, Scheffler, but, you know, like, let me give you a 2023 Masters leaderboard, Jackson, and you're gonna go like, holy shit, he was there. Like Russell Henley, he was. I remember watching Russell Henley last year, going, there's a guy who is pissing himself being in this position right now.
That's the question you have to ask: is all these guys in great form? Do they have what it takes to have the constitution and hold it together if they are on 16 with a lead at Augusta on Sunday?
And you can tell. Let's see.
Like Xander did not.
So Rahm won by four last year, but Mickelson finished T2. Henley finished T4.
Didn't Mickelson have like a
Creed?
Mickelson had like a six Sunday where he teed off way earlier than all the guys, right? And shot like something
ridiculous.
It was
a weird weather day.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's just not. I get what you think going into it,
right?
But would you have put Mickelson T2 ever? No. Would you have put Russell Henley T4 ever? No. South Tagala, like if you're a golf fan, you know he's legit. Finished in ninth. And Tom Kim, top 20. And there's your boy Neiman. He was in 16th. Sam Bennett, the amateur.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? I think he was in the final group. It imploded.
Wild swing.
He shot 76, 74 in the weekend, but he was the leader going into the weekend.
Yeah.
And Chris Kirk, he was plus 17.5, finished T23, and he's already won this year. I don't know. I got to tell you.
Value left and right.
There might be a real fiduciary responsibility because the Masters has had periods of time where it was kind of like randos. I mean, there was a Mike Weir win in 2003. Zach Johnson won. It was a weird weather year.
He was
unbelievable
at that time.
Cabrera.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just surprised at seeing the, like, these are some monster numbers.
Yeah.
Monster numbers.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, guys folding up is a big part of, like, the reason that guys can you know, when you look at the Masters in 19, Tiger obviously wins, but like Molinari kind of folded up shop, some other guys.
Ian Poulter,
yeah,
believe it or not.
The guys fold up shop sometimes, so you can sneak your way
Tony
into a
T10. Finau surprisingly did.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were going, okay, who was in the final group? It was a threesome with Tiger. You'd probably be able to remember Molinari. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe actually.
I just only remember because he went to
But Finau was in it too. And yeah. just, you know.
Some people aren't.
There are just some people who, for whatever reason, have a real issue with that. And I'm telling you right now, the biggest one is Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, as far as quality of play week in, week out this year, Xander Schauffele's been right there. But if Xander Schauffele's leading by two going into Sunday, I will take whomever. And what that was the case of the players, wasn't it? He was the leader, wasn't he, going into all right, I got a lunch at 11:45, so I got to go. Thank you to Longo Biggs, online at longobiggs.com. Thank you to Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton Toyota, James Carlton, the Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency, Mark Hanna of Evergreen Well Strategies, and Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling. Send your questions. Anything and everything is welcome. T. McKernan at InsideSTL.com for QFTA. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Tim McKernan Show podcast.